This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's Echo Zulu, rolling to the quarter pole. Favorite Sequest End, Burner Breezy is last. It's Echo Zulu after three quarters and 1 minute 11.70 seconds. Echo Zulu charging hidden connection. Favorite toward the inside as Turnaloose has dropped back. There's one furlong to go. It's Echo Zulu who leads against the inside for Joel Rosario. Hidden connection trying hard on the outside. Favors third. They're close to home. It's Echo Zulu. Hidden connection on the outside. Echo Zulu and Hidden Connection. Photo finish in the Fairgrounds Oaks. A nose between Echo Zulu looking to remain undefeated and Hidden Connection testing the champion all the way in the Fairgrounds Oaks.
Now here's Bobby Newman and Bob Nastanovich.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman along with Bob Nastanovich. We've got a dozen races from around the U.S. to talk about tonight, Bob, including some huge races at both Fairgrounds and Turfway Park and major points qualifiers on the road to this year's Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, excellent job by the stakes coordinators at both racetracks assembling delightful fields. And there are some notable horses cross-centered. We'll talk about that during the show and sort of surmise where they're going to go. I mean, there's been some thin weeks on this stakes preview in the last in 2024. This is not one of them. This is very, very good horse racing this Saturday.
Folks, AmWager is giving away money. New customers get a $150 sign-up bonus plus an instant $10 bonus for HRRN listeners. Go to link.amwager.com/HRRN. You'll get $10 instantly for signing up. Then, when you deposit $150 and bet $150, you'll get a $150 lump sum bonus. It's just that easy. AmWager is a wagering platform that's loaded with valuable tools and features, including odds charts, odds predictions, and much more. You'll also get free access to Form to Win. It's a revolutionary app that analyzes past performance data in minutes. So go to link.amwager.com/HRRN to sign up and get your bonuses. AmWager, built by horse players, for horse players. All right, Bob. Well, four graded stakes on tap tomorrow out at the Fairgrounds, the first of which is race number 9. It's the Grade 2 New Orleans Classic. This race for four-year-olds and up, going a mile and an eighth on the main track. We've got a field of 10. And something that people have been waiting to see, the Louisiana-bred Touch Upon a Star facing a really quality field of open company in New Orleans. That's what we're going to get. He is 3-1 on the morning line and should be one of the favorites in the New Orleans Classic.
Yeah, very notable that the top three from the Grade 3 Mineshaft on February 17th, that would be Money Supply, Best Actor, and Gasoline are all in here. That was an excellent race. Money Supply, who emerged victorious for Tyler Gaffleone and Joe Sharp, really along with Saddle Up Jesse, was one of the best claims of 2023. He was claimed on August 20th for $35,000 at Saratoga out of a 35 non-2. He won that race by two lengths under Flavian Pratt. Turned around, finished second in a starter allowance, and has not lost since. He'll go for 6 in a row in the New Orleans Classic, so he's in sparkling form. And the horse that he beat ahead by a head in the Mineshaft Best Actor might end up going off favorite in here. I mean, he's just a terrific horse. It's Flavian Pratt and Brad Cox, and he's in fantastic form, never runs a bad race. Super Corinto returns to the races. It'll be an interesting return for him. He's a really high quality Argentinian bred. Irad Ortiz and Nacho Correas. I think he's a horse worth following on wet tracks. I think we're expecting a fast track in New Orleans, which is excellent news on Saturday. I think the rain's going to clear out, and really one of my favorite horses in training. Like you mentioned on the intro, Touch Upon a Star is in here. And although it's the toughest field that he's ever beaten, he's 11 for 14 lifetime. He beat Open Company, what turned out to be a key race in the Delta Mile November 3rd. beating a couple of really nice horses. Then his biggest win in recent times was December 9th when he beat Tumbarumbos, who's been excellent, won the Hooper down at Gulfstream and then finished second the other day. So I think he's got enough talent to do it. And I'm not rooting for Touch Upon a Star, but if he's 3-1 in this field, I think he might get 3-1. I'm going to bet him.
Yeah, I think most of the races he's run are good enough to beat this field, although he's been facing softer competition. Biggest question mark for Touch Upon a Star is what kind of trip is he going to get? Is he going to make the lead, or is Best Actor going to try to make the lead? Are they going to kill each other off? If they don't go after one another, they pretty much they could run 1-2 all the way around the racetrack. If they both want the lead, it could set up for somebody to come from off the pace. But I'm like you, Bob. I think Touch Upon a Star is going to be a little bit of a value play. Not that 3-1 is something great, but the fact that he is a state bred facing open competition, which he doesn't do very often, and he has been facing softer than what he's going to see tomorrow, we could get that 5-2 or 3-1, and I clearly think he's the one to beat if he runs his race. Touch Upon a Star for both of us in the New Orleans Classic. 10th race is the Muniz Memorial Classic. This race, a grade 2 event for 4-year-olds and up at a mile and an eighth on the turf. I would guess there'll be at least some give in the ground with all the rain they had today in New Orleans, but as Bob mentioned, not supposed to be nearly that kind of weather tomorrow. A strong field gathering for the Muniz, and my guess is that number 13, I'm Very Busy, who's 4-1 on the morning line, will probably go off the favorite, very slight favorite on the morning line, but the fact that it's Chad Brown and Irad Ortiz and coming off that big effort in the Pegasus, I'm Very Busy, certainly looks like one of the ones to beat.
Yeah, this is another excellent challenge of a betting race. I mean, Mark Cassie has a trio of really good turf horses in here. That group probably is led by Web Slinger, who Flavian Pratt rides. He was really good in a race that's, you know, turned out to be a nice race, the Hollywood Derby, December 2nd. He got beat a neck by Program Trading. Silver Knot, Godolphin horse, who was kind of frustrating last year, but Honest finished third in there. He showed up in the Pegasus World Cup, got going too late after being checked at the top of the stretch under Edgar Zayas, and, you know, that was a great race with Warm Heart. I'm Very Busy, who's in this race, but drew the 13 hole. It'll be interesting to see if he can get it done and get good position, but he's got the right rider to do so, and Irad Ortiz riding him for the second time after flying home and getting beat a half length by Warm Heart. In his last two races, I'm Very Busy. He's really an improver. This is his 9th lifetime start. He's had to face Warm Heart and Integration. He's a very well-bred sort. This is the John Franks family that produced Answer Lively and Erica's Dream. I don't think the outside post is a nightmare on the fairgrounds turf. I think he'll get a good trip. I thought it was pretty notable that another Cassie runner in here, strong quality, who should be on the front under Johnny V. The last several starts, he's been in great form. Got beat a neck by Beatbox, who's in here. And Florent Giroux's been riding him. Florent Giroux, who obviously plies his trade mainly at fairgrounds, he heads to Oaklawn Park, and we'll talk about his mounts there in the upcoming segment. But pretty interesting that Giroux opts to go to Oaklawn to ride up there for Brad Cox. Obviously, John Velasquez is a suitable replacement, but I'm going to give the edge to I'm Very Busy from the outside. I just think he's an improving horse. He's a now horse, and I think Irad will work out a trip, and he'll be tough to beat.
Yeah, I don't have any knocks on him, but I'm gonna play number 3, Web Slinger, on the come. He comes out of the same race as I'm Very Busy, and he did not have a very good trip that day. Was forced very wide, then checked at the top of the stretch, and really lost all chance, and he was moving pretty well. I think it's a very, very big rider change going from a good rider to a top flight, you know, top 2 or 3 in the country rider in Flavian Pratt. So Web Slinger for me at 9-2 on the morning line. Hopefully he gets a better trip than what he saw last time out And I think if he does, he's got a big chance to win the Muniz Memorial. Race 11 is the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks for the three-year-old fillies going a mile in a 16th. We have a field of eight here. Bob, top of the show, we heard the stretch run of the 2022 edition won by Echo Zulu. She went from being a really, really good routing filly to maybe the best sprinting filly in the country during her career. And I don't know if we have any Echo Zulu types in this field, but it is a talented field. And Steve Asmussen won with Echo Zulu 2 years ago. He's going to have a chance with Our Pretty Woman tomorrow afternoon. She won't be the favorite, though. It's either going to be Tarifa or Intricate vying for favoritism.
Yeah, Echo Zulu was remarkable. She finished her career 9 for 11 and really arguably might have run the best race on American soil last year when she won the Ballerina by 2.5 from Goodnight Olive. It was just an unbelievable performance, a sub-minute 21, 7 furlongs around Saratoga. So great to hear that call in the intro, and just a fantastic filly that will remain in the memory for a long time. First note on this race is Alpine Princess, the 3. She's cross-entered in the Bourbonette, where she's 2-1 in the morning line. She's 8-1 in the morning line. Here, and of course, you can see that Giroux is named to ride. It appears that he'll be at Oaklawn. So for a start, I'd say there's a very, very high percentage chance she shows up at Turfway. Our Pretty Woman is very interesting for Asmussen. She's undefeated, but it'd be the first time she ever runs on a fast track, likely the first time she ever runs on a fast track. And it's her stakes debut, and her stakes debut in a tough spot. I mean, Tarifa and Intricate, like you mentioned, ran 1-2 in the Rachel Alexander. Tarifa really at the end of that race, pulled away from Intricate. Intricate's a very classy horse. I mean, Intricate blew apart the Goldenrod last year as a 2-year-old, the Grade 2 Goldenrod on November 25th. So two very high-quality fillies indeed. I think Tarifa, who's 8-5 in the morning line, will be slammed down with Pratt booked to ride. And I'm going to take a shot with VV's Dream here. VV's Dream, who's trained by Kenneth McPeak, has had two subpar efforts in a row. One in the Rags to Riches at the end of October at Churchill, and then got outrun on the Rachel Alexandra. But those were on sloppy tracks. She returns to a fast track. She's always been heavily a bet. This is kind of an angle that I like to employ sometimes. She's 8-1 in the morning. It looks like the first time she'll ever be a value play. She's obviously a very talented daughter of Mitoli. She gets the inside post. Brian Hernandez, her regular rider, stays aboard. And I think she's going to wake up on a fast track. She's been training well at Fairgrounds. She's got plenty of back class, and I think that she'll upset the Fairgrounds Oaks.
All right, VV's Dream for Bob. I went to the undefeated Our Pretty Woman, Steve Asmussen, earlier today on HRRN, saying that she's worked very well on fast track. She just hasn't caught a fast track yet. Whether it's wet or fast, I think Our Pretty Woman has a big chance, and I like the fact that she's lightly raced, still has plenty of improvement probably in her, this daughter of Medaglia d'Oro. All right, we are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the big one at Fairgrounds, the Louisiana Derby. Also, a couple of nice stakes tomorrow at Oaklawn Park. This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
The race is on at Sam Houston Race Park. Don't miss a minute of the action now through April with thoroughbred stakes racing every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's something different every weekend, including special events that are fun for the whole family. And of course, we're the place for live music and great drink specials every Friday, along with delicious dining and the best Sunday brunch around. So race in for all the excitement at Houston's best bet for fun and entertainment, Sam Houston Race Park. Visit shrp.com for details.
Hi, I'm Elton John. In 1981, the first case of AIDS was diagnosed in the United States. At the time, it was a disease with no hope for a cure. More than 40 years later, we have the tools and medicine to beat AIDS. But the stigma has not gone away, which means we aren't done yet. In the United States alone, there are 1.2 million people living with HIV. 1 in 10 have no idea they are infected with HIV. My foundation is bringing HIV testing and care to underserved and vulnerable communities who have been left behind because of stigma and discrimination. Since it began, the foundation has helped reach over 100 million people at risk of and affected by AIDS. If you share my vision of a world where everyone is treated with love, respect, and dignity, join me. Learn more about the Rocket Fund at eltonjohnaidsfoundation.org. Follow us at EJAF on Instagram. Thank you.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Governor Gray. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 162 or XM 207, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
At the top of the stretch, Zarb's Magic has the lead. City by Night, Grindstone on the outside. Commander's Palace is next. They head now to the eighth pole, and Grindstone takes the lead, but Zarb's Magic hangs in on the inside, but it will be Grindstone with the lead, and Zarb's Magic back in second. Grindstone wins the Louisiana Derby by four with Jerry Bailey. Zarb's Magic next, Commander's Palace third. Running time 1:42:03.
That was Tony Bentley on the call in 1996, the Grade 3 Louisiana Derby at the time, won by Grindstone, the only Louisiana Derby winner to go on and win the Kentucky Derby. They've had other Louisiana Derby winners win Triple Crown races. Risen Star, Master Derby come to mind, but Grindstone, the only Louisiana Derby / Kentucky Derby double winner, and this year's Louisiana Derby is the featured race tomorrow out at the fairgrounds. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich, let's get right into it, Bob. Race 12 tomorrow is the Grade 2 Louisiana Derby. $1 million on the line, 100 Kentucky Derby qualifying points to the winner, 1 3/16 the distance, big field of 12, and it's number 12, Track Phantom, favored on the morning line.
Yeah, major question I have for you. Agate Road, who ran
He's running in the Louisiana Derby. He is not running in the Jeff Ruby, according to what Todd Pletcher said a few days ago.
That's very valuable information, because it looked like a very difficult choice to me as I handicapped the races. I kind of like that. To me, it shows a lot of confidence in him as a dirt horse. Obviously, he's bred for it by Quality Road out of a gemologist mare. You know, I was surprised to see him not show up in the Tampa Bay Derby, where he would have gotten some valuable points against an easier field, because he was gaining on No More Time, who came back and ran a good race in the Tampa Bay Derby, finishing a narrowly beaten second. So he's a very interesting entrant. First things first, I thought Black Gold won the Louisiana Derby and the Kentucky Derby.
It's very possible.
Okay. Sierra Leone, who won the race before the Risen Star very impressively, and, you know, really I think is at the forefront of a lot of people's imaginations and sort of their ideas. A Derby winner certainly has the talent. He does not show up here, but he had a very good work on March 16th. I imagine he's probably headed to the Florida Derby. Is that correct?
Say that one more time.
Sierra Leone, is he being pointed to the Florida Derby?
I think he's being pointed to the Bluegrass.
Okay, cool. And then Fierceness also, he's working right along for fans of those high-quality three-year-olds. Track Phantom.
You're right about Black Gold, by the way.
Okay. Thanks. Track Phantom is Joel Rosario and Steven Asmussen, and you know, the question mark with him is he drew the 12 hole, and he's, you know, there's some quality speed to his inside. It is very interesting that Agate Road goes here, because his stablemate Antiquarian to his inside looks like the horse that needs to break out of there sharply under Johnny V and at least make things difficult for Track Phantom to cross over and assume command of the race. I mean, that's just Track Phantom's game, and he's very effective at it. Now, the plan might be to stalk whomever and get a forward position. But, you know, generally he's on the lead. He's a high-quality horse. But at 3-1, I don't think he represents any value at all. I am very intrigued by it and will definitely be including Agate Road. But to me, the horse that stands to show substantial improvement in here and impact the race at a really nice price is the 7 Honor Marie. Honor Marie is a very talented horse. He needed his last race. That's what it seemed like. The trainer, Whit Beckman, seems like all of his stock, and he has some quality stock, is needed a run or two to get going. He's training very well. Rafael Bejarano stays at Oaklawn. The very capable Ben Curtis takes over on Honor Marie. I think he's live in here. I think he'll be flying at the end, and I think he'll be a double-digit price. So I'll take Honor Marie in the Louisiana Derby.
All right, I'm going to take the other one that you're intrigued with, Agate Road. I liked what I saw from him in the Sam Davis last time out. And like you, I don't know why he didn't run in the Tampa Bay Derby. Maybe Pletcher had something against running horses back at Tampa because he didn't run this one back. And when before we knew that Locked was hurt, he had basically said, well, I don't know where he's going to run, but he's definitely not running in the Tampa Bay Derby. So I don't know what was going on there with the Pletcher three-year-olds in avoiding that race. But Agate Road ran very well when second and No More Time, who came back and ran very well. I think a repeat of that race gives him a big chance in the Louisiana Derby, and he's 8-1 on the morning line and goes back to Irad Ortiz. Jose rode him last time out. So we're both trying to beat the favorite in tomorrow's Grade 2 Louisiana Derby. Moving over to Oaklawn, they've got a couple of nice stakes on tomorrow's card, the first of which is the Hot Springs Stakes. Three-year-olds going a mile. It is a two-turn mile at Oaklawn Park. We've got a field of 9 with a big favorite on the morning line in Brad Cox's Nash.
Yeah, this is kind of funny to me, this race. I mean, obviously the Hot Springs Stakes, as we knew it, became the Whitmore, which is, you know, now a Grade 3 sprint for older horses. So they kind of kept – they needed that Hot Springs name, and they kind of made up a stakes race for it. And it's kind of a difficult spot for a two-turn mile, three-year-old only race, especially going up against the Louisiana Derby and the Jeff Ruby and – Florida Derby next weekend. It just seems like a strange little deal, and to me it's a race that's filled with some pretty frustrating sorts, like horses that there were, you know, high hopes for, horses that have been heavily bet, not performed. You know, I mean, there could be a three-year-old that runs a big race in here, emerges, and then maybe shows up in a race like the Lexington, trying to get into the Kentucky Derby, you know, sort of through the back door. At the end of the day, I think it's a good spot for Nash to make amends. Florent Giroux, as mentioned before, leaves a lot of good mounts behind on the Fairgrounds card. His main man in recent years has been Brad Cox. This is a very highly regarded, well-bred son of Medaglia d'Oro out of Sara Louise for Godolphin. You know, he's 1-for-5. He's got 3 seconds in the third. He's faced Track Phantom a couple of times. He doesn't have to deal with him, obviously, in here. Ran a good race last time, got beat by Tuscan Sky. But I think he can turn it all around. Maybe he'll be a better horse at Oaklawn than Fairgrounds. He might not need to be, but I think a Nash will win at a short price.
You mentioned that Nash is out of the mare, Sara Louise. Sara Louise, I actually had the privilege of calling her win in the Pocahontas Stakes when she was a two-year-old filly, and she beat Rachel Alexandra that day. Not only did I call a race that Rachel Alexandra lost, I was on the pregame show with the late John Asher before the races,
yeah,
and I picked Sara Louise
that
day, which in retrospect, I mean, it was a good pick for the day. In retrospect, it doesn't seem like it was I probably got lucky. Obviously, Sara Louise was a very talented filly. She was not nearly what Rachel Alexandra was when you compare their race records.
She beat her.
She did beat her that day. I picked Nash as well. There's zero chance I'm betting this race tomorrow, Bob, because I barely like Nash in this spot. I think he's going to win. I don't love him. He's 7-5 morning line. He's probably going to be even money, and I can't get myself, if I barely like a horse, to take that short of a price. So I'm going to pick him on top because I think he's going to win, but he's not going to be anywhere sort of a price that I like. And listen, I'm not really that confident with that selection anyway. He is not yet turned out to be, I think, what a lot of us thought he was going to be. Maybe that happened, that he takes that next step forward in the Hot Springs tomorrow. Ninth race at Oaklawn is the Grade 3 Essex for the older horses going a mile and an eighth. We've got a field of nine gathering in this race. And I'm going to start it off, Bob, because I was a little bit surprised. I handicapped the race before looking at the morning line, and I kind of looked at it as a, well, First Mission was one of the favorites in the Pegasus. He was awful that day. He ran so poorly, it probably doesn't mean anything when you get beat 20, 25 lengths, whatever it was. Something obviously went wrong that day. He's come back to work well. You draw a line through that race, and he clearly looks like one of the ones, if not the one, to beat. He's probably going to be a better price, and I look over, he's 5-2 favorite on the morning line. So I'm picking him on top. It's another race where I'm probably not playing because it's a lower price than I want.
Well, it's kind of interesting you mentioned that, because the Pegasus World Cup is an interesting race in a lot of ways for handicappers to review, because there were some really high-quality horses that ran subpar races. Obviously, we've seen Skippy Longstocking come back at Tampa and resume his winning ways, and he finished last in there. But then at the same time, Nimitz Class, who's a fast horse, showed up in a very soft spot at Laurel recently and finished fourth of four. So it's hard to really make figure out what to make of the back markers in a race that was won by National Treasure. And, of course, Senior Buscador went over to Saudi Arabia and made history. First Mission's got an excellent pedigree. He's by Street Sense out of Elude. Another Godolphin homebred could be clearly the second reason why Giroux went up there. I mean, this might be a Giroux stakes double. War Campaign, a horse I'm a fan of. This is a Jerry Namey homebred, an owner breeder that's been around for a long time. He's had a lot of good horses over the years. Unraced since December 16th, but he was laid out for the tinsel in sealed mud, shipped down from Kentucky in excellent form, won that race by a length and a half, showed good tactical speed from the inside post in there. He's a horse that seems to be a little bit more effective on a wet track. He'll probably see a fast track today, and I'm with you. I mean, if you put your thumb over the Pegasus World Cup form there, then it looks to me that 5-2 actually seems like a pretty good price to me on First Mission. I think he'll rebound. His morning work says that he's back to his best, and he just might have hated things in Hallandale. So who knows? It was his first time there. He didn't run a jump. He'll try a new racetrack in Oaklawn Park, and maybe it'll suit him better.
All right, we are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to look at some races at Laurel and Santa Anita taking place tomorrow. This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
There are plenty of thrills at Gulfstream Park with live thoroughbred action Friday through Sunday and simulcasting 7 days a week. Join us on track for weekend stakes races. Dine trackside in 10 ponds with an elevated view of the track and grab a cool cocktail in the Carousel Club. For reservations, tickets, and more, head to GulfstreamPark.com.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick and proud aunt. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing. But not every child gets to be carefree. One in six kids in the U.S. are hungry. One in six. That little girl sitting alone at the playground, she can't play like the other kids. She doesn't have the energy because she's hungry. School lunch will be her only meal today. It breaks my heart that this is the reality in our country, but it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste. This food is then provided to families and children in need. Being a kid should be about using your imagination, learning, and having fun. These children shouldn't have to miss out on simply being a kid because they're hungry. To find out how you can help end childhood hunger in your community, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Bobby Newman. Join me every Friday afternoon to dive deep into handicapping the races. We'll cover the live action from some of the biggest tracks in the country, talk to some of the major players in the game, and hopefully make a little money along the way. You can also call the show to share your opinions, ask a question or two, or maybe just vent about some bad beats.
It's Betting with Bobby every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 162, XM 207, online channel 999, or streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Around the far turn, it's Relaunch in front by half a length. John Henry second, Arco third, Flying Paster on the outside, Balzac fifth, Silver Eagle on the inside, and Golden Axe, they turn for home. It's Relaunch on the rail, holding on to the lead by a head. John Henry second. On the outside, Balzac now third. Arco on the rail, then Silver Eagle looks for racing room between horses. Flying Paster drops back. Coming to the wire, John Henry takes the lead. It's John Henry. And John Henry wins it with Daryl McHarg by a length and a quarter. Very tight photograph between Silver Eagle, Balzac, and Relaunch for the place in show.
That was former Santa Anita announcer Dave Johnson on the call back in 1980, the first of back-to-back wins for John Henry in the Grade 3 San Luis Rey. This year's San Luis Rey is the Saturday feature this weekend at Santa Anita. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich. Before we get out to for the San Luis Rey, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. CHRB grants Northern California fall race dates. Despite opposition from Southern California tracks, which desire a consolidation of the racing in the state, the California Horse Racing Board approved fall race dates in Northern California for a 26-day season at Pleasanton during its monthly board meeting in Sacramento, March 21st. The vote to award the dates was 6-0. A seventh commissioner, Dennis Alfieri, was absent during the vote that capped an approximately four-hour board meeting he was involved in earlier discussions. Though the board granted the dates, several commissioners raised concerns about the financial, environmental, and logistical details related to the planned race meet at Pleasanton. Fall racing at Pleasanton is meant to fill a void in the north caused by First Racing's impending June closure of Golden Gate Fields. In light of their Pleasanton concerns, commissioners said they would closely evaluate the license application for racing there when it comes before the board this summer. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Follow the road to the Kentucky Derby, plus have the latest racing, breeding, sales, and industry news and analysis, plus entries, results, race replay videos, and more at your fingertips with the Blood Horse Daily app for your phone, updated throughout the day or delivered daily in an email. Both are free. Blood Horse Daily has the largest reach of any industry electronic newsletter or app. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or sign up now. All right, Bob, the featured race tomorrow at Santa Anita is the aforementioned Grade 3 San Luis Rey. Older horses going a mile and a half down the hillside turf course, or from the hillside turf course onto the main turf course. Field of five coming together here, including the horses who were 1, 2, 3 in the San Marcos, led by the winner, missed the cut.
Yeah, just a quick note on Pleasanton. The operators have promised a grass course there in the next year or two, so that'll be an interesting...
No. They have not promised. They are trying to do it. It's going to cost $7 million. I think they have to figure out if it's feasible for them to spend the money. If they are proving that they're not losing money to start with, then they're going to look at the turf course. Nothing is promised yet.
Okay. We'll see what happens. It'd be lovely if Pleasanton had a nice brand new turf course. This race is interesting. It's a quintet, which is a little bit disappointing, but you know, something we've grown used to out there at Santa Anita this winter. You got the 1, 2, 3 from the February 10th San Marcos. You've got Miss the Cut, Planetario, and Balladeer. You can expect Balladeer on the front end. Last time he kind of went too fast for his own good under Victor Espinoza. It'll be interesting to see if he can relax a little bit more on the front end. Miss the Cut is just a remarkable horse for one reason. As far as I'm concerned, this might be a record in American racing. This will be the 13th race in a row that he's had a different jockey. I personally have never seen that. Whether he's racing in France, England, Saudi Arabia, Southern California, doesn't matter. He gets a different pilot every time. This is Antonio Frasu, yet another excellent rider. He's been ridden by a lot of Hall of Fame and jockeys that will eventually be in the Hall of Fame. And Frasu takes a turn, and he hops on a horse that's going to be probably odds on. I mean, he's got tactical speed in here. He'll rate just behind Balladeer, and he'll perhaps be tough to mow down. I'm going to go with Awfully Naughty. He won the race last year. Santa Anita is clearly his favorite turf course. He's 3-for-8 at Santa Anita in a lifetime where he's 5-for-20. Interesting that Juan Hernandez rides for Michael McCarthy. The two of them rarely hook up, 0-for-4 in the last 60 days. So Hernandez for McCarthy. And he's a deep closer in a short field, but I just think it's the right set of circumstances. He's 4-to-1 in the morning line, and if you get anywhere near that kind of value, I think you just have to at least include him, and I'm going to pick him.
Okay, I'm not going to try to beat the favorite, Miss the Cut. I think either of his last two races make him the one to beat in this spot, and he beat most of this field that he's going to see tomorrow, last time out, very handily in the San Marcos. I don't see any reason he can't do it again. We'll see if Frasu has the magic touch like some of these other dozen that have ridden him, or whatever, 13 other riders that have ridden him thus far. Missed the cut for me in the San Luis Rey. Couple of nice stakes tomorrow out at Laurel. They're not graded stakes, but they are nice stakes, first of which is the Beyond the Wire for three-year-old fillies, going a one-turn mile on the main track. Just a field of six, goes as the eighth race on the card. And number six, Determined Driver, is your morning line favorite at 7-5.
Yeah, one thing I can guarantee this weekend, Bobby, is that we'll have a sloppy track at Laurel. They're going to get a deluge starting late tonight and all through the day tomorrow. And, one great thing about Laurel Park and the horses that race there, Parks, or, just about everything running these two stakes races, generally they've seen a lot of wet tracks. It's kind of interesting here that the morning line odds maker made Determined Driver 7-5. He or she did not know the weather forecast, or maybe it doesn't really matter. I mean, Determined Driver is a nice horse, but she's run four times in her career. She's 1-for-1 on the grass, and she's run well on fast tracks. It'd be the first time she's on an off track. She's by dialed in out of a Great Notion mare. She's never even worked on a wet track, so that's that's a leap of faith to take a really short price on her. The four-horse Aoife's Magic is a nice horse. She won the first four races of her career. Probably bit off more than she could chew going to the Busher on an unsealed slop at Aqueduct race where she was well beaten. Her regular rider, Wilfred Vasquez, carries on with her at Laurel. Maybe she can turn it around. But I feel like there's good value in here. And that value's on Kiss for Luck. Kiss for Luck's interesting for a lot of reasons, but one reason is she's a half-sister to Vequist, who, of course, won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and was the 2020 two-year-old champion filly in this country. The owner breeder, Swilcan, they sold Vequist for $120,000. They kept Kiss for Luck, and they've always had good horses with Butch Reed, including a Poseidon's Warrior. Kiss for Luck's by Accelerate. She obviously is a sound filly. She makes never seems to miss a start. She's 2-for-8. She's run her best races on off tracks, and I thought she ran a good race in the main line behind Jeannie Marie at Parks. And I think she's very capable in here. I think she likes route racing, and I think Kiss for Luck at 5-to-1 in the morning line will be my play.
All right, I'm also going to go with Kiss for Luck in this spot for everything that you mentioned. I think that price is very good on a filly who, to me, looks just as good as anybody else in the field, and 5-to-1 is too much to pass up. We both like Kiss for Luck in the Beyond the Wire. Ninth race on the Laurel card is the Private Terms. Three-year-olds going a mile and a 16th, which is two turns at Laurel. We've got a field of nine gathering in this race, Bob, and hard to figure out who's actually going to be the favorite. Slight favorite on the morning line is Inveigled, who you could argue has been facing tougher down in South Florida.
Yeah, start off with Copper Tax. Copper Tax didn't run a jump in the Sam Davis. He's a better horse than that for Gary Capuano. sort of inexplicable. His performance in that race came out of it working well. His previous race, and really his only loss on a wet track, was in the Remsen. Obviously, that's turned out to be a key two-year-old race with Dornoch and Sierra Leone. And the ill-fated drumroll, please, who's going to miss the Triple Crowns. I think he's off for about 4 to 6 months with an injury. Copper Tax was well beaten and had a trouble trip in that race. But if you put a line through that, he's obviously a very good horse on a wet track. So maybe he'll get back to his best. And Vagold also exits a key race. He finished fourth, beaten six lengths by Hades, Domestic Product, and Fierceness in what was a very good renewal of the Holy Bull this year. He's another horse that appears to have the talent to win a race like this. Is a good field. And it's round four in the rivalry of Speediness and Circle P. And Speediness has a lot of speed for Jamie Ness and Jaime Rodriguez. He won two back by 14, and he ran a good race leading all the way in the Miraclewood, beating a Point Doom, who's in here in Circle P. I'm going to take Circle P at a big number. It'll be his first time on a wet track, but he has a lovely wet track pedigree, which, you know, whenever I see Mr. Leader in the female side of a pedigree, Hurstland Farm, those horses loved wet tracks, and he just has a really good wet track pedigree. He's by Spitester. And I think Circle P, if you watch that race, he had an extremely wide trip. Cup kept coming on the outside. It was very admirable. I think you'll enjoy the extra 16th. I think he represents really good value in the private terms.
Yeah, I've got him on top as well. It's a terrible morning line. He can't possibly be 12-1. He's never been 12-1 in his life. And as you mentioned, he's running big races against a horse who's maybe favored in the race in Speediness, second choice on the morning line. I think the morning line is off, but like you, I can't resist 12-1. And I think there's enough pace in here that Circle P could come running, and it looks like the extra distance won't do anything but help his chances. Bob and I both going for an upsetter, Circle P, in tomorrow's private terms, race 9 on the Laurel card. All right, we've got one last break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the three biggest races on tomorrow's Turfway Park card. This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The race is on at Sam Houston Race Park. Don't miss a minute of the action now through April with Thoroughbred Stakes Racing every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's something different every weekend, including special events that are fun for the whole family. And of course, we're the place for live music and great drink specials every Friday, along with delicious dining and the best Sunday brunch around. So race in for all the excitement at Houston's best bet for fun and entertainment. Sam Houston Race Park. Visit shrp.com for details.
When kids need medical care, they will often face stressful and life-changing experiences. From complex treatments to long hospital stays, these special patients miss out on the things that most kids take for granted and let kids be kids. That's where Starlight Children's Foundation comes in. Since 1982, Starlight Children's Foundation has transformed the in-hospital experience for more than 17 million seriously ill kids in 800 children's hospitals and facilities across the United States. Our state-of-the-art programs like Starlight Virtual Reality, Starlight Hospitalware, and Starlight Gaming let kids just be kids, if even for a few moments. Whether donning an action figure gown instead of standard hospital issue, or settling into gamer mode, if it brings a smile, a laugh, or just a break from their reality, it's happiness delivered. Learn more at starlight.org. That's starlight.org.
Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton.
Please join me in welcoming Hall of Fame trainer Todd Fletcher.
Hall of Fame trainer Nick Zito on Trainer Talk. Welcome Hall of Famer Bob Baffert to the program. Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee, nice enough to spend some time with us. Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott here on Trainer Talk. Dual Hall of Fame trainer Mark Cassie.
Trainer Talk, the biggest names in horse racing. Wednesdays, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Sirius 162, XM 207, and streaming live at horseracingradio.net. You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
But here's Animal Kingdom with a big run. Animal Kingdom has come from last, and now he's in front into the stretch. Decisive moment, fighting hard. Those two together. Tap Town takes third. Up on the outside, Twin Spired is gaining. Animal Kingdom just ahead over Decisive Moment,
but it is Animal Kingdom now drawing away. He'll win the Vinery Racing Spiral by two. Decisive moment second, then Twin Spired Photo for fourth. Tap Town on a late run by Beachcombing.
Mike Battaglia on the call. Animal Kingdom, 2011 winner of the Spiral. He would, of course, go on to win the Kentucky Derby in his very next start. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich. Folks, AmWager is giving away money. New customers get a $150 sign-up bonus plus an instant $10 bonus just for HRRN listeners. Go to link.amwager.com/HRRN. You'll get $10 instantly for signing up. Then deposit $150, bet $150, and get a $150 lump sum bonus. It's that easy. Once again, link.amwager.com/HRRN to sign up and get your bonuses. AmWager, built by horse players for horse players. All right, Bob, they've got the biggest day of the meet at Turfway Park taking place tomorrow. And we're going to look at three of the biggest races on the card, starting with race number 10. It's the Grade 3 Kentucky Cup Classic. These are older horses going a mile and an eighth on the synthetic track. We've got a nice field of 12 gathering for the Kentucky Cup Classic. And just slight favorite on the morning line is a horse that seems like has been running for 15 years, Wolfie's Dynaghost.
Can I choose eight horses in here?
You know what? It's a tough race to handicap, but it's a really good race. And if you're somehow right with your opinion, you're going to get paid.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty amazing. I mean, they have assembled a great field here for $300,000. Maybe synth racing is where it's at for older horses. Let's start with the inside horse, the Surly Furious. Obviously, the Equibase chart caller there at Turfway has a free rein on artistic license, because when Surly Furious won the Dust Commander, the race that leads up to this at Turfway Park on February 7th, he used the chart comment pure domination, which is pretty over the top. But Surly Furious is live in here. He won by eight. You can make a case for Verstappen, who ran a great race in this last year when beaten by Wolfie's Dynaghost. Obviously, Wolfie's Dynaghost, who's a regular, he's not a regular here. He's 2-for-2 here. This might be his favorite surface. Jose Ortiz for Jonathan Thomas, he's live. Cellist is very interesting from the Rusty Arnold barn. Luis Saez picks up the mount from Martin Garcia, who rides down at Oaklawn for Kelly Von Hemel on 8 Life Grand in the race we discussed earlier. What a great new choice for a new opportunity for Saez here on Cellist. This horse looks live. He's a little light on the win end. Atone is in here. He hasn't raced on synth very often. Obviously, he's a very high quality turf horse. Fantastic again from the 12 hole. It will definitely take plenty of money and has a chance. I mean, if you'd asked me 20 years ago, Frankie Dettori would be riding at Turfway in March of 2024, it would have been unfathomable. He rides County Final in here for Safi Joseph. Oh, and the hunt for value, I'm going to go ahead and take a shot on a horse that I expect to be a huge price, and that's the Phil D'Amato trained Tio Magico, or Tio Magico in here, a son of Uncle Mo, out of a more than ready mare. Been running pretty well on the grass out there. He's been at Turfway for a long time for D'Amato as a small string there. Obviously, this horse was sent there with this race in mind. He's worked very, very well over the surface, and I think he'll sit a pretty nice trip. He's pretty versatile in terms of pace scenarios. And I'll go ahead and take a shot on a horse that I expect to be a big number, and that's the 9 Tio Magico.
All right, I'm also going to take a double-digit morning line horse on top, and it's one you mentioned, number 10 County Final for Safi Joseph and Frankie Dettori. three tries on the synthetic surface at Gulfstream in his most recent three starts, and they were all very good efforts, not against the kind of competition that he's going to see tomorrow. But I like the fact that he was able to close from far back last time out at Gulfstream. From what I've seen of that synthetic track, being up near the front is usually where you want to be. So this horse able to close from about five lengths back and pass seven or eight other horses in the race is makes me think that this horse has got some quality and taking a step up in class. But he's run against graded stakes competition in the past. He hasn't beaten them, but he's run decent races against them. And I think he may be a better horse now than he was when he was running in those graded stakes before. I'm going to try County Final in the Kentucky Cup Classic. 11th race is the Bourbonette Oaks for three-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th. We've got a field of 10 gathering in this race, Bob. And morning line favorite is down on the inside, Brad Cox trainee, Alpine Princess. She didn't do much running in the Rachel Alexandra last time out, but her previous tries were really good.
Yeah, and again, she's crossing in the Faragos Oaks, Fairgrounds Oaks, but it's fairly obvious that she'll show up here. Louise Saez booked to ride with Florent Giroux at Oaklawn Park. Like you mentioned, never tried synth before. No reason why she shouldn't like it. She was entered one time on the turf race that came off. She won that easily. She faced really nice horses we talked about who run in the Fairgrounds Oaks, so I see no reason to reoppose the likes of Tarifa and Intricate. 2-1 in the morning line. I think she's going to get bet down from that. Band of Gold is a nice preservationist filly. Ran a great race in the Martha Washington. But the horse, I think there's an unusual highly talented speedy horse in here, and that's Pink Polka Dots, who's a candid ride filly, a half to Saffine, who is a nice horse. And she's run twice on the grass at Fairgrounds, and she's looked like something really, really special. She's got abundant speed, might be the best horse that jockey Jaime Torres has ever ridden. And after this race, I think she's highly unusual. I mean, she's very, very impressive. And she does everything right. She galloped out very, very strongly in her last race, that optional claimer at Fairgrounds. I think she'll make her first foray in the stakes company a winning one. I'll take the 8 Pink Polka Dots.
Yeah, so will I. I think she can get the lead in this race, and I'm surprised she's 6-1 on the morning line. I think she's going to be a bit down from that. Boy, if she takes to the synthetic surface, she's going to be really tough to beat. Those races she was running on the turf look like they're good enough to be right there, if not beat this field. I'm surprised she's 6-1 on the morning line. We both like Pink Polka Dots in the Bourbonette Oaks. Featured race of the meet is the Grade 3 Jeff Ruby. This is a race that's been named about 17 different things. It was the Spiral, then the Jim Beam, then the GalleryFurniture.com for, I think, 1 year when Steven got even one. Then back to the Spiral, then the Lane's End, then back to the Spiral again. Now it's the Jeff Ruby, at least for now. We'll see what happens within the next 5 years if it goes to something else. But three-year-olds going a mile and an eighth, 100 Kentucky Derby qualifying points to the winner, 50 to the runner-up. So the top two finishers, basically, it's a win or place, and you're in for the Kentucky Derby kind of a qualifier. 14 were entered, 12 will run. How'd you see this one, Bob?
You mean the Jim Beam? Because this race will forever be known to me as the Jim Beam, because that's what it was. And that's what it was when it was on ESPN. It used to be on ESPN. In fact, one time I saw Jim McKay be part of the trophy presentation and at an advanced age run to get into a limo to be taken back to Cincinnati Airport to go to another sporting event. The same day I saw Chuck Norris in the hospitality tent. But
I don't want to get too far along, but I would say you're right that the best, the most memorable time for this race was when it was the Jim Beam from the mid-'80s to the late 90s, when like Prairie Bayou and Hansel and Summer Squall and Lil E.T. Serena Song and Broad Brush all got to the winner's circle. None of them winning the Kentucky Derby, by the way, but a lot of really good horses winning the Jim Beam. We're getting short on time. How did you see this year's not Jim Beam, but Jeff Ruby?
Yeah, no, I mean, Agate Road, thanks for pointing out that, he's going to stay down there. I thought the price on Otello was crazy. Obviously, he'll be shorter than that. But rewatching the race out at Golden Gate, the El Camino Real. I was really impressed with Endlessly. I think Endlessly is a really nice horse on turf and on synth. I think he's pretty special. He's got a big turn of foot. He'll be my pick, especially with Umberto Rispoli showing up at Turfway Park to ride him.
All right. I think Endlessly is a big talent as well. I don't think he beat very much in the El Camino Real Derby, but he did it very impressively. I thought it was between him and Otello, and just because of the morning line at 15-1 on Otello, I'm going to put him on top. Intriguing to me, Otello, who's run three times all on dirt, being by Curlin out of an Escondrea mare. I like the fact that Christophe Clement has worked him on turf in his last two starts, so almost like a tryout to see, hey, you know, we may want to run this horse in the Jeff Ruby. Let's train him on turf at Payson, and if he likes that, he may like the synthetic as well. And if he doesn't like the turf, we can always go somewhere else. But he obviously thought that he liked the turf enough, and it's not 100% accurate, but a lot of people think, you know, horses who run well on turf run well on synth and vice versa, and that's obviously what they're using in that barn to try to gauge Otello's chances. I just think that his races in the Mucho Macho Man and even his effort in the Holy Bull probably good enough to give him a big say. I'm going to use both Otello and Endlessly if I play horizontally in the race, but I would bet Otello just because of the price in the Grade 3 Jeff Ruby. That's 12 races. Time now for the Am Wager Best Bets.
The Am Wager Best Bet.
Best Bet.
All right, my friend, lots of opportunities here. Where'd you see it?
Yeah, I mean, the value play, I think we both landed on the same horse in Circle P in the private terms at Laurel. It's a tough little race. It'll be running the slop. So it's a leap of faith to take him. I just can't imagine a horse beating Touch Upon a Star. I don't care how good they are. I think there's some very nice horses in the New Orleans Classic. I think it came up a tough race. But I think with his talent front end, he's doing well. Tim Thornton's a good rider. I think the Del Home family will be celebrating on Saturday night, holding the New Orleans Classic Trophy. My pick and my Am Wager Best Bet of the week is Touch Upon a Star.
All right. I agree that horse has a monster chance to win. And 3-1, he is certainly worth a look. I'm going to go a little bit off board, if you will, for my best bet, because I think a horse that has every bit as chance to win as anyone else will be a much better price is Agate Road in the Louisiana Derby. He is 8-1 on the morning line. Irad is riding. I know there are people out there who think that Irad is there for other horses and he's just riding this one. Listen, I think this horse has a big chance in this race. And to be honest, I think his second place finish behind No More Time in the Sam Davis would beat this field. Listen, I don't disrespect Track Phantom. He is obviously a very, very game horse, and he may just get out in front of this field and take them all the way. He may just be that good. But I think Agate Road's most recent dirt race is better than anyone in this field has run ever. And if he runs that kind of race again or even improves now just third start of the year, man, he's going to have a big chance to upset him in the Louisiana Derby. He is 8-1 on the morning line.
All right, Bob, a side wager between you and me. I'll take Honor Marie to finish in front of Agate Road.
Okay, great. Now you just have to tell me what we're betting.
We'll figure that out. We'll add it to the list.
You can't decide
a new car, Bobby.
Well, I mean, that's also there's a big difference.
I'll get the small pizza for the entree and the whole meal next time I see you.
Am I getting you a Renault car, or do I have to get you a McLaren or something like that?
Now I'll get you a nice meal in Iowa or Florida or Del Mar, whoever wins.
It won't be in Iowa, pal. We won't be getting a nice meal in Iowa. It will be before the Derby in Louisville or before the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar. Somebody will buy pizza. Something like that.
Okay, that nice sounds friendly. Great. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Agate Road against Honor Marie. Yeah. Folks, want to remind everybody, a big addition to the Equine Forum tomorrow morning, our good friend Mike Penna bringing you a whole litany of great guests. Steve Asmus and Tony Kahlo, who were on the show earlier today, we're going to replay those interviews tomorrow morning, talk about big events at Oaklawn, at Fairgrounds, and at Turfway Park. Sam Houston's announcer Nick Tamaro looks ahead to Texas Champions Day NHC champ Mike Gillen reflects upon his improbable victory. Brian Boyeau remembers Hall of Fame jockey Walter Blum. Plus, Ashley Anderson talks betting strategy in this week's Triple Play. Kurt Becker takes on his weekly stroll through racing history. I'll be along with Calling All Three-Year-Olds, presented by Spendthrift. Dale Roman's Tim Wilkin tackle the sport's hottest topics on I Ask, They Answer, presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program. Big Equine Forum tomorrow morning here on HRRN every Saturday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. That is going to wrap it up tonight on the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview. For our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, Bob Nastanovich, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks so much for joining in. Have a great weekend at the track, everybody.